open in the 8th chapter of Acts on the broadcast today. This is the second broadcast in a series of 8 that deals with a very pertinent subject, what does it mean to be born again? And we want to say as we get into the broadcast today that God's Word is very complete as it tells us the gospel being taken forth to the world was preached without addition, subtraction, or alteration. You see, in the 8th chapter of Acts, as we begin this sequence today, we're aware of the fact that there had been a great persecution upon the church of the Lord's people that was in the city of Jerusalem. In that 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen had been stoned. We're aware of the fact that he was killed by men who certainly were angry, who were cut to their heart, but did not follow the course that the people did at Pentecost, of which we spoke last week. They were pricked in their heart, and they turned to the Lord. These people in the 7th chapter of Acts were cut to their heart, and they turned their back upon the Lord and stoned Stephen. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we have the mention again of Saul. Of course, there was a reference made to him as the man who stood by there, and the garments were thrown at his feet, apparently, when Stephen was stoned. But in this 8th chapter of Acts, it mentions that Saul was consenting unto his death, which means that Saul of Tarsus, who we're going to find out later became Paul the Apostle, was actually guilty of murder. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. I'd like to make a point here as we go into this second broadcast in the series of Born Again teaching, that even though the apostles were going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, isn't it an interesting thing to you to note that before they left Jerusalem, the disciples, who apparently had come from different parts of the world and were converted to Christ in Jerusalem, they were the ones that were scattered abroad. In verse 4, it tells us that therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now one of these apparently that left the city of Jerusalem at this time was Philip. In the 6th chapter of Acts, we have him mentioned along with Stephen and 5 others, 7 altogether, who were appointed to take care of a certain business in the church where the Grecian widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Stephen was a man who was filled with the power of God that we read about in chapter 7. We're led to believe that the same thing was true of this man Philip, who later is referred to as he lived in the city of Caesarea as an evangelist who had the 4 daughters that prophesied. I believe this is the Philip that's mentioned in chapter 6, and also the one that is mentioned later who lived there in the city of Caesarea. Well, the point is that in verse 5 it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. This is a vital thing, and I'm sure that it is something that is held in our mind as we listen to the broadcast today. The one thing that a preacher of the gospel is to do above all is to preach this word. I'm going to point out to you before the broadcast is over today that I admire this brother Philip, because as a preacher of the gospel, he did not turn aside from his proclamation to engage in personalities, but he simply kept that personal teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ before the mind of all who heard him. This is commendable. And I want to encourage all who preach the gospel today without addition, subtraction, or alteration to never stoop to deal in personalities, but to simply offer that personal teaching, that gospel, that is God's power unto the salvation of man's soul. Well, when Philip went down to the city of Samaria, he preached Christ to these people, but there was opposition there. You know, we can always expect there to be opposition, but in the face of this, this man just continued to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had the power to perform miracles in the first century, because according to the 16th chapter of Mark, if you'll check it out, that these people had this power to actually confirm the word that they spoke. You know, I don't have to perform a miracle today for you to know whether I'm preaching the word of God to you or not. As you're listening in your home today or wherever you might be, if you have a copy of the Bible, then what I say, if it's found in the Bible, is really confirmed by the Word of God. But this man had the power that was necessary to convince people that he was preaching the gospel. And of course, the people gave great heed to what he had to say. But I mentioned the opposition. Simon, who had been a sorcerer, a user of black magic, had a great following before Philip got there. You know, it's much like going into communities today to preach the gospel. We know before we get to that community that the devil's been there before we have. We know that the devil has taken many people into his fold, and even those who may profess to follow him. He has a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, has been able to devour those who have swerved from the side, those much like the man in the 25th chapter of Matthew who buried his talent and lost his soul. We plead on this broadcast whether you've ever made a start for Jesus, or if you find yourself away from him today, that you will truly come by the marvelous teaching. But he preached Christ unto these people, and they gave heed unto what Philip had to offer. And in verse 12, it simply says this, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And then it goes on to say, "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." So here was a great time in the city of Samaria. The gospel was taken to this region, outside of the city of Jerusalem and Judea. It was much like the apostles had received the teaching from Jesus in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of Acts. If you read that, you'll find just before he went to heaven, they asked him a question. "Lord, wilt thou restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said there were certain things the Father had put in his own power that they wouldn't know. But after the Holy Spirit had come upon them, they would have power to carry the gospel as his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And even though Philip was not an apostle, he was carrying that same gospel of Christ. Now the question I want to ask is, we're going to ask in all these broadcasts, when these people received this word, when they believed it, and when they were baptized, the people of Samaria, were these people born again? Or was there something else that took place in their life? How about Brother Simon? Was he born again? Or did something else happen in his life? I believe you'll come to one conclusion when you look at this picture, that the people we spoke about last week, about 3,000, had gladly received the word and were baptized, as we have in Acts 2:41, were hearing the same gospel that was preached here in the city of Samaria. You see, there was one teaching that was brought to the apostles. There was one teaching that was imparted to those who went forth like Philip to proclaim the gospel. You see, it's a little different in the world today, friends. We don't just have one teaching. Well, someone says we have the gospel of Christ, and this is the interpretation that people put upon the gospel of Christ. I'd like to give you a thought regarding interpretation. I understand we have to be able to do that to understand anything. But the thing I'm talking about in this series of broadcasts, these things are facts. They're events. They're things that happened. And I've often used the illustration that if you were to have an outstanding event happen in your community, let's say it would be the unveiling of a statue in a park. It might be the dedication of a library building. It might be the proclamation that a certain person has become the mayor of the town or the city. Now, there might be different comments about the building. There might be different comments about the mayor. But there would be no doubt, as the statue was unveiled, as the library was dedicated, as the individual offered the proclamation that would be expected of a mayor, that these were facts. And you could simply say with truth in your heart that these things happened. Now, the comments about it might be different. The point I'm making is the 3,000 people are about that many at Pentecost that gladly received the word and were baptized. This would indicate to us that the new birth had taken place. If it were not the new birth, then pray tell me what it was. It wasn't simply a church ordinance. It wasn't simply going through the motions. For these people were under conviction, and in Acts 2 had cried unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" I do not know the condition of all the people at Samaria, but I'm led to believe again because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that these people had come short of the glory of God. They were guilty of sin. We know that Simon was guilty of sin. But as we read verses 12 and 13 of this 8th chapter of Acts, we hear the gospel being obeyed. We see it by faith being obeyed in the city of Samaria. You see, he went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. He did not offer a human doctrine. He did not often offer that which is of human dogma, but he offered it, thus saith the Lord. And regardless of how great the opposition was, in this case the opposition was converted, but regardless of how great the opposition was, Philip just simply preached the gospel. And I want to insert this thought again on the broadcast today. That's what we need in the world today. The preaching of the gospel without addition, subtraction, or alteration. You see, not all people obey it, and I'm sure not all of them in Samaria did. I am sure there were other, we might say, soothsayers or sorcerers who did not obey this truth. But the record we have is the conversion of men and women in the city of Samaria and the conversion of Simon. These two accounts of conversion that are placed in the book of Acts here are offered for our consideration, for our education, and for our opportunity to ask ourselves the question, were these people born again? It is our firm conviction, friends, that they were born again. And these individuals had been born of both the water and the Spirit. It was Spirit teaching. They were baptized. And I am led to believe that this is the one baptism of which Paul refers to in Ephesians 4, the one baptism that every person knew who became a Christian. It's been good to be with you on the broadcast today, and you may have questions about this account of conversion. We welcome your questions, not because we think we can answer every question. We always learn from a question, but if we don't have the answer, we'll try to get it. And if we can't get it, we'll simply tell you that we do not have the answer. Now, you may be listening, whether you be young in years or older today, and you haven't been born again. You have an opportunity this very day to obey the gospel of Christ. Remember, the record teaches us that behold, now is the day of salvation. I always say to people when I talk to them in a meeting, publicly or privately, sometimes in the confines of their home as we sit down together and study the Bible, you are the one that must make this decision. But when you understand this to be Bible truth, do not delay. And we offer this to you on the broadcast today. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast stand ready to help you. Why don't you feel free to call upon them? Be born of the water and the Spirit. Do just as these people did, gladly receiving the word, obeying it from your heart in full obedience and truth. It's been good to be with you on the broadcast today, and I trust that God will bless you. We trust that you will be in the house of the Lord, that you'll tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast, and be with us next week as we continue on once again with what it means to be born again.